Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Beard Talk Live, the uncensored Free Talk Live after show. Learn more at beard.freetalklive.com. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits.
The fun thing about living in the South
was
I'm living in North Charleston, South Carolina.
On the east side or the west side?
It was, it was kind of the east side because I worked in Mount Pleasant. And
I
just
felt like you needed one more directionality in there, right? You were in the south side of North Charleston or something?
No, I was in North Charleston,
South
Carolina.
And so that's why I asked, were you on the east or west side? Because I figured you just needed one more direction in there.
Right. Yeah, I didn't need any more.
It was on the east side of West River.
I don't take direction well.
No, but you probably leave directions well.
I do give directions well. Yeah. I do. Because so nobody does.
What was your story you were starting to tell?
So I'm living in this army base in North Charleston, South Carolina, that's been turned into like cheap housing. And this is what I was working for Citibank, and it's like, you know, I don't have a girl. And I do have a gun, so I don't mind living in like an area some people might back away from. So I'm living on this army base, which is a poor neighborhood. It's like 95% black. And I was living there when Obama got elected. And, I went outside. Motherfuckers were hugging me. They were just coming up and randomly hugging me. And I was like, you know, this might be good for America after all.
Yeah, I am really glad that I got to see a city when that happened.
Yeah. Like
to go into the black part of the city and just to see that. Because, you know, it really comes down to, we're willing to pay the risk instead of the rent.
Yeah.
Because those areas, if you can get half the rent, sometimes that's a real good deal. So, being able to see just that wave of love and relief when it happened, when they're like, okay. Like, look, he's a blood-soaked monster. We know that.
But so's Romney, so who cares?
Right.
So, really, they all are.
So having a...
Exactly.
Having a definable, pointable symbol of, hey, it's not this rigid, fucked forever thing.
Yeah.
Was really important.
Yeah. I think it really is. And I really think, I hate the issue of race because it's like, you know, the thing is, the way you see the world has a huge effect on your life. Like, I'm a lot less likely to be successful in corporate America today than I was at, like, 22. And it's like, I literally, you know, I remember saying to my buddy Jim, that we called him Hamster because he dropped some acid one time.
And, damn it, Jim.
And he wandered around for, like, a month saying, we're all just hamsters and habit trails. They make it look like we have choices, but all the pipes go to the same places. And it was like years later that I figured out how wise a statement that was.
Yeah, you're
was.
Like, wait a minute, that guy was totally not wrong.
Yeah. It was
I
like,
know that sounded like word salad, but actually...
It's exactly accurate, you know, because, you know, they want us in tranches.
This is Beard Talk Live. What's your name, please?
This is Dave and the Thumb.
Dave and the Thumb. All right.
Yeah.
The Thumb of Michigan?
You got it.
Yeah, see, I'm from Ann Arbor, so I know these
things.
Leave
it to a Michigander. You are on the uncensored after show called Beard Talk Live. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
So what are you guys drinking, sitting around drinking beer?
I do not have beer. I actually have a Delta 8 infused carbonated beverage. We did have some, I had a shot of a little Captain Morgan earlier.
I smoked a bowl before the show, so I'm pretty happy. I like my Diet Mountain Dew. Alcohol does not make me smarter.
Yeah, everyone has their own medicine. They got to figure that out.
So I'm on this, radio player.
Okay.
You know, it's call in, listen line. You get like 9 different radio platforms. And you guys are on there, number 6. And
sweet.
I'm listening to Ian on the other line talking about the, you know, SV Bank and all that. And you guys are in New Hampshire, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Are you guys following Mike Glenn? I mean, Mike, not Glenn. What the hell is his name? The mortgage broker.
You tell me.
Mike, damn it.
Well, tell me the story.
Mike Hunt?
No.
Okay.
Mike Rofone?
No, there's a Mr. mortgage Crowfone. Broker there. He's Mike Gill. He is a whistleblower going after SV Bank. He's going after the banker cartels, the money. They're dealing drugs. They're laundering money. They're
All right. Who is this guy, and how is he going after these the SVB?
Well, I'm not sure exactly, but he's been in court. He's been fighting these guys in court for 16 years. They've offered him $50 million hush money 4 times, and he's not taking it. He's squeaky clean, and he's trying to take these guys down with a guy named Brandon O'Connell.
Okay.
He's the guy interviewing him.
Hmm. Not Justin O'Connell. No, that's Justin O'Donnell.
Yeah, right.
No, it's Brandon O'Connell.
All right.
And I think he's out of Australia, but or he's Australian. I don't know where he's at, actually. Sure. But
how did you find out
an hour and a half video on Rumble. If you look up Brandon O'Connell and Mike Gill in New Hampshire, you should find it. I really think you guys should check that out. I can't believe, you know, being there, you don't know about it, especially with all this SV crap going on.
Well, we have been focused on the banks themselves and, you know, sort of the repercussions of that. And as you know, we generally we tend to focus a little bit more on the cryptocurrency community and the effects there, too. So
although
it probably
has a big intersection. A lot of people are saying that the banks that went down because there was a targeted hit on banks that would deal in crypto, which makes sense because they want to destroy that industry and they're going after people and suing them. So if somebody's got a great idea, they might be able to borrow money against that idea to get an attorney. So they got to shut down the crypto banks too. So you can't get legal representation.
Caller?
Yeah, well, what I understand is that some Israeli firm withdrew $39 billion like the Thursday before SV went under. And then the next day, some other investment firm withdrew $1 billion, and they're blaming that firm, not the Israeli firm who took out
The fact that the CEO pulled out millions, the CFO pulled out $500,000, okay, they had a pretty good idea. This shit was about to go down. Okay, that means that some people that were deciding that this is where the scrutiny is going to be and this is where the whisper campaign is going to be aimed were going, here's what we're taking out, here's when we're taking it out, and of course everyone benefits from insider trading. It's just this is the, like, purely illegal side of it, where they, like, completely break the law and destroy their opponents from the shadows, because that's kind of their game.
We don't have enough pain. We're not in enough pain. He's bringing the pain. Is it major pain?
It's a hemorrhoidal inflammation.
That sounds like a thrash metal band or a death metal band.
Not bad.
Have you guys heard what Ted Nugent said about animal rights? The Whackmaster himself said animals have massive rights. They have rights to massive amounts of garlic and butter.
Yeah, sounds like him.
Major.
But goes very well with the garlic.
It does.
Is nobody there, too?
Nobody's here.
Nobody? I heard you 3 times yesterday do butter. I heard Ian do it. two days in a row.
He's saying on the Friday show. Yeah, nobody. What he's saying is on the Friday show, at some point, as you were speaking to like a caller or talking to Ian or whatever, that you were like, but, and then you continued on with your point.
How dare you accuse other human beings of using the.
I would respond to that, but I'm paralyzed by not caring very much.
Wait, what's that, Major?
I said it's a common stumbling block. Anybody has a pause word or some such thing.
Yeah, mine's
near universal, I think.
Mine's
to use while they reconfigure their thoughts.
Mine's
well,
not,
I'm getting better.
But,
mine used to be motherfucker.
Mine is not
the space.
But mine is you know. Right? And I still do it. Like, I'll go back and I was listening to a couple of previous episodes of Free Talk Live to catch up because I wasn't here for a week or whatever. And I was like, okay, where's the right one? I started listening to one and I start talking. I'm like, and you know, and you know, and you know. And all I hear now is, you know. And I've tried really hard to stop it, but it's just not going away. But I digress.
Now you got butter, you know.
Well, hang on. Go ahead, Major.
I called in on a couple of Sunday shows and you weren't here, so the second one I was like, dude, what happened to the captain? Did he fucking jump ship or what?
Well,
he was only out one show.
Well, I was out for three technically. Right? Saturday Free Talk Live. Saturday Beard Talk Live and Sunday Free Talk Live.
True. Yeah.
I got a couple of rock and roll jokes for you. Gavin, I'm assuming you're a musician. I know you are.
I'm assuming
you're a guitarist, right?
That is a more accurate statement.
How many guitarists does it take to change a light bulb?
How many guitars or guitarists?
Guitarists.
It's usually something like 24. You only need one to change the actual light bulb, but the other 23 to stand around and talk about how much better they could have done it.
Well, I heard it, but it was 13 and 12 was talking about, I could have done that.
Same joke. Very well.
Hey, you all never know how many people
how
are
many
gonna
programmers
sit there and go, I could have done that.
Yeah.
How many programmers does it take to change a light bulb?
How many what?
The other one here.
How many programmers
does it take to
change a light bulb?
How many programmers?
Yeah.
They just call the IT guy to have it done for them?
None. It's a hardware problem.
Tomato, tomato.
All right, Major, go ahead.
All right, so the other one is, so it's late at night, and there's a knock on the door, and you walk up, and there's headlights in the driveway, and there's a young, greasy-looking drummer standing on your porch with his hand out. What's the quickest way to get rid of him?
I don't know.
Pay him for the pizza.
Hey, do you know why drummers do, what do you call a drummer without a girlfriend?
Stickless?
Homeless.
Okay.
Nice.
Got nowhere to go. Drummers are infamous for being, you know, leeching off their girlfriends for their life expenses while maintaining their musical rock and roll lifestyle.
That's nice work
well,
if you can
you
get it.
Well, generally get less respect than any of the front men in the band. I mean, they get the least desirable of the groupies and such.
Drummers?
You know?
No. Drummers get well more than their fair share. It's the bass players that get nothing.
It's
the
rhythm.
That's true.
So the intelligence to groupie ratio is way off on drummers. Now, they do get the craziest ones because they're the ones that like drummers. But the like, you can be dumb as an absolute post and just be like you tap into an instinctual attraction in women by laying down a rhythm.
Well, see, I always just wrote it off as the drummer is the most physically active person in the band, and so, of course, that's going to draw more attention from the females than somebody who is more sedentary and just sort of stands there like the bass player for existence,
yeah.
Or for example, existence. Mm-hmm.
Well, that depends on your stage show, I guess.
A bass player does need rhythm. I mean,
it's true.
They call it rhythm guitar for a reason.
Well,
also.
No, that's different than bass guitar.
I'll tell you what.
Okay.
Bass players are not created equal.
No, they're
Some
not.
Some bass players are like, oh, you play it like a fucking instrument. You're not just a half drum.
Yeah.
You're playing it like an instrument, which since you are on those low bass levels, you can play with the drums a lot a lot closer.
Yeah. Steve Harris of Iron Maiden and Les Claypool of Primus, in my opinion, probably number one, number two bass players that I have seen and enjoyed their music over the course of years. There's probably some bass players out there, like people will say, like Billy Sheehan, and you know, there's some other like sort of virtuoso bassists that exist who might be technically better, but they're just not as popular. So as far as popular musicians, Steve Harris of Iron Maiden, Les Claypool of Primus are probably the top two. Beard Talk Live, who the fuck is this?
Hey, what's going on, Captain? Good to hear you back.
This sounds like Rob. Am I correct?
Yeah. What's going
Hello,
on?
Hello, Rob. Hey, I'm going to misspell your name. I'm going to pronounce it R-A-W-B, Rob.
Okay. Hey, so you guys were talking about musical positions. That's I love music is like my religion, you know.
Okay, then before you get to your point, let me ask you, best three-piece band ever. Go.
I would say Grand Funk Railroad.
Ooh, nice.
I would say Cream.
Is Cream a three-piece?
And then I would say exclusively Motorhead.
Yeah. Of course you would. I mean, know you well enough to know that, you know, Motorhead is one of your tops.
I didn't know they were a three-man band.
Who else can say that they remember their time, a member of time when there was no rock and roll?
Well, wait, are you one of these people? Are you older than
I've had
rock
moments
and roll?
In my life with well, no rock and roll.
But I'm saying those were but words that Lemmy said.
Oh, yeah. Lemmy certainly was older than rock and roll.
Yeah. And
Lemmy, the leader of Motorhead?
Well, he was part of that crew that created rock and roll. I don't care what anybody else says.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, Motorhead certainly was that bridge between that sort of blues-based rock, punk rock, and then what became heavy metal. Motorhead is considered one of the OG heavy metal bands. If there is like a heavy metal barometer, and just because I'm a heavy metal kind of guy, I kind of have these bands that I refer to as heavy metal barometers. For me, Motorhead is one of the heavy metal barometers. But Black Sabbath is sort of the ultimate heavy metal barometer. What does that mean? That means that if I listen to Black Sabbath, and then I listen to your record, if one of you guys made a record, and the music I found to be
I'd
heavier...
I'd probably be doing Grateful Dead covers, so I don't think you'd like mine.
If I found the music to be heavier than Black Sabbath, then I would be like, yes, you are in a heavy metal band. If I found the music to be less heavy than Black Sabbath, I would say, yeah, I'm sorry, I don't think you're a metal band.
Well, he revolutionized the way that, you know, bass players play. I mean, he played like if that was like a regular six-string guitar.
He had some gallops going on and, you know, stubby fingers and all that kind of stuff. So he certainly had some different chops. But you could say the exact same thing about Les Claypool, right? Les Claypool of Primus comes along, sort of revolutionizes bass playing with this new, you know, weird fucking dance that he does and how he does both slap and pop.
He moved his feet?
Yeah.
While playing bass?
While playing bass, yes.
When did they legalize that?
Well, I don't think it was ever illegal. He just was like, nobody's doing that. I'm going to start doing it myself. And so
I didn't think anybody was watching.
A really good bass player.
Who was that, Rob?
I like Les Claypool. He's a good guitar player, but
fucking amazing.
There's this new band that I sort of discovered a couple years ago, but they've been out for I think about 7 or 8 years. It's called King of the North. It's a two-piece rock and roll band, and it's incredible. You gotta see it and hear it.
I'm not normally a fan of the two-piece bands. I've heard this before. I'm trying to remember what kind of metal they call themselves, but they're called like Inquinoc.
The only two-piece band I can think of was the Eurythmics. Is that the one you mean?
I don't think that's what he's talking about.
No. Okay. The name of this band is called King of the North. If you type it into YouTube, you'll see them.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. And they're a good heavy rock and roll band.
Are they three-piece?
They're two-piece.
Yeah. Yeah. See,
I'm
just not a fan of the two-piece band. I feel very strongly
about Pantera. That's a three-piece band.
Who? Pantera? No, Pantera's four-piece.
Well, I mean, Phil Anselmo doesn't play in his music. He just sings, you know.
Well, yeah.
The two-piece bands that I've liked the best, I've been half of.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
I mean, Rob, do you play an instrument? Do you play guitar, bass, something, drums?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but I know a lot about them. But, I mean, I don't play. I wanted to learn how to play guitar when I was a child.
Mini Rob.
And I was fortunate enough to get a guitar. But at the time, I was, you know, trying to figure this out. You know, someone was trying to, you know, figure out where my head was and then, you know, take advantage of me and shit like that, me. And it just changed me. And, you know, I didn't have any type of, I didn't know who to talk to. You know, it just altered my future.
For me, guitar helped me out of that particular situation, a very similar situation to what you're talking about. And I was just angry, and I wanted to vent my frustrations. I discovered the mosh pit, right? And I was like, oh, this is great. I could just get it all out. And, you know, the music's so loud. If you're screaming and yelling while you're moshing, nobody hears you. Or they just think you're like a rabid banshee or something, right? And so
the mosh pit,
and
where
then,
no one can hear you scream.
Yeah, but it was voluntary, right? And that's like what I liked about it.
Yeah, so
I was into Led Zeppelin and Jimi Hendrix and... You know, Kiss was a big influence on me and
sorry
shit like that. But,
hey, Rob.
No,
Hey, Rob, so early on in this, you were saying your religion is music. And I think that's actually, I mean, depending on what you mean by it, it's the one true religion.
You asked this AI some questions about legal. It turns out it's a JD. Then what?
Yeah, well, I mean, the other thing I noticed, which I thought was fascinating, was it has... Excuse me, and it has all these different categories that it has. Like, it knows about healthcare and financial and technology, education, marketing, sales, real estate, insurance, agriculture.
Let me remind you.
Economy.
Let me remind you of something, though. That's running on a machine that is controlled by people. So this is not an oracle. You have to be very careful when deciding what kind of faith to put in the various things that this guy writes. It's like for the main routine, the assembly language main routine, I had it write me. Like, I let it produce the code and then I would read the code and I'd say, okay, I see what you're trying to do here, but this is wrong. And then he'd generate it again and I'd say, okay, I see what you're trying to do here, but that's not...
That. So you'd coach it up a little bit.
So it was more like using a tool than employing a programmer.
Right, but I'm saying is that, I mean, if you're not, you know, using this for nefarious things, I mean, it knows about astronomy, mathematics, statistics, data science,
to some people,
cybersecurity.
To some people, that is enough to make them godlike.
Yep.
Right? If you think about that for a minute, ChatGPT and other AIs are convincing enough that some people would be like, this is godlike.
How so?
Well, think about how stupid the average person you know is. And now remember that half the people on planet Earth are more stupid than that.
Yep. George Carlin said that.
Yeah. So if a lower functioning human being, right, we're talking cranial activity, encounters an API interface.
A what?
An API, or not an API, an AI interface. They could very well mistake it for God. Because what's the quote? Any technology sufficiently advanced enough.
Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Also, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from a rigged demo.
So the thing about being human is literally anything can become God to you.
I rest my case.
Now, that being said, it definitely has some of the characteristics of a god in terms of like folklore at the very least.
Like I
so
guarantee
this thing
you.
Exists throughout an unknown span of time,
sure.
In multiple places simultaneously,
yes.
And it's the same pattern.
I guarantee you that there is some emotionally distressed, misguided, undereducated human who is getting life advice from one of these AI chatbots.
Well, and here's
depending
the thing.
On the nature of the subject he's asking about,
this could be good. This could be bad.
Yeah,
it could be. It could be great for the guy. You know, maybe just to give him confidence.
But it could also go horribly awry because. Well, like you said, what is the benchmark for artificial intelligence?
And that's my point about my warning to Rob is, you know, they're very accurate until they're not.
Right.
And when they're not, they may be way off. They don't have the human, let's not go off the rails here, reflex,
right.
Which, you know, I pretty much had to defeat in me.
I'm not saying that this is the cure-all, but what I am saying, I mean, if you have a legal question and it spits out a possible answer, it's not a bad place to start.
What I think would be fascinating would be if you had a church and you had a community coin. Okay. Now, the rules on this community coin could be whatever you wanted them to be, but probably the thing that you would include would be if you have a dispute, then these people are available as mediators.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen.
And pay a percentage of your, in order to have this service, you can either contract for it after the fact, or you can pay a small fraction of each contract, and any contract where you pay, you know, 0.2% to the house,
right,
is then insured. Blessed, we call it, but that also means it's insured. So basically you can either have mediators who go really in depth,
yeah,
or you can just have if you were building it with an AI, you might just say, well, pay off anybody who makes a claim, but then assume that if you make
hold on, so just to make sure I'm following, so a lot like the old friendly societies, but for judgment.
So basically.
Like, so how they used to do medicine when it was.
Tuatha, the Irish had all that going on where it was like, we just find. Mm-hmm. And so this is kind of where I was hoping we might go. Like, AI as arbitration, as a free market justice system powered by crypto.
The problem is. Well, the problem is you need an awful lot of hardware.
I'm not saying I'm for or against it. It's just an idea that's popped into my head recently.
It's not a bad idea, and it could definitely be done.
To the degree that humans are using AI, then they are going to figure out what they think their market worth of that mitigation service is. And to whatever degree the AIs are self-directing themselves to offer these mediation services, they can try on their own in the market to see, hey, you know, I'm really good at talking different people's languages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know inside of the New Hampshire freedom communities, oftentimes folks would be like, hey, can anybody recommend a traffic lawyer or, you know, some sort of other legal entity? Because, hey, I'm in this situation. Has anybody been in this situation? And then, like, yes, somebody recommend somebody, and that's the way these things should be done, in my opinion. You should be able to find somebody that's been in a similar predicament who says, hey, you know what? I used ChatGPT-5000, whatever, right? Insert, you know, name, a ton of whatever. I used this thing over here. I had great results. I've used them more than once. My Aunt Carolyn used them, whatever, right? You know, I'm just making stuff up, but, like, that's how you should find, in my opinion, you know, outside of standard research.
See,
about what
I
you
would
need.
Be down with trying that out, but the thing it would have to be that ChatGPT is not is open source.
Currently, it's not. Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Because otherwise, you know, the FBI can just tell him, yeah, we don't like this guy. Plug in his social security number and make sure he never wins.
Right.
And you have no way of knowing whether that's happening or not.
All right, now, how about an open source AI that does not live in the cloud but lives on a blockchain?
Well, that could definitely be done. And you would probably want all of...
Very quickly.
You would probably want at least all of your judgments stored on the blockchain.
Right, yeah. So you can find precedent and that kind of stuff. What happened when we encountered
so
it before?
It's the only reasonable place to have a permanent record is, oh, look, where a permanent record is just shy of free.
Yeah, and so you can use it, you would use the history to judge whether this thing did a good job or not.
Rob, would you, if you had the choice, and you had to go to court, right, for something, right, traffic tickets or something like that, and so now it's time for you to go to court. If they said, would you like this to be arbitrated in the normal way, right, with judge and police and all that stuff, or would you like it to be arbitrated using this AI? Would you give the AI a shot?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because it's it can't be bought. It doesn't have, like, any... It just only goes for what the truth is.
Well, there's a couple ways that you can buy an AI.
Depends on how you do it.
The first one is to rig it internally to change the way that it makes decisions. But that might be difficult because you might not know how it makes decisions. Or at least not be able to easily debug them. Like a neural net, you know, it doesn't follow a pattern of thought that you and I would see as thought.
Beard Talk Live, who the fuck is this?
Oh, good God. I thought I was actually on listening to you.
Reputation precedes you.
But
I have a question for you, Captain. Are you guys ever going to configure the system to where, like, the call-in line and the Beard Talk line coincide?
I'm glad you asked, caller, because you, the listening public at home, can make this a possibility.
How so, Mr. Peakless Mountaineer?
Why, by contributing to our cryptocurrency fund.
How does one contribute to our cryptocurrency fund, Peakless Mountaineer?
Well, at some undetermined point in the future, we're going to reveal our public address.
Dun, dun, dun. What's a public address?
Until we do that, is it technically a public address?
We haven't. Hang on, Major.
We have a private public address.
We're trying to low-key do some advertising.
And mind your Major painting.
In the meantime, until we release said QR codes, public addresses, whatever, you can go and buy a Beard Talk Live t-shirt now. On Amazon.
Beard Talk Live t-shirt on Amazon right now. Why, I know that you could purchase a discounted Amazon card. There are methods through cryptocurrency and have your own Beard Talk Live shirt.
Yeah, you can buy multiple shirts too and then use something like purse.io where you just simply paste in the URLs of the products you're trying to buy. Somebody comes along and says, yep, I'll do that. But you name your discount so you can get like 10% off, which is most common. 20% is a little more common. You got to wait a long time to get 30%. But you can get a discount by using cryptocurrency, by going through Purse and vicariously buy yourself or selves, you get one for the whole family, I don't care, a Beard Talk Live t-shirt. There's men's, there's women's, there's we have a pullover hoodie, there's long sleeve, there's tank tops, extra small through 3XL, there's unisex, whatever that is, fits everybody, I guess. $20 is the starting price for just the regular ass traditional t-shirt, $19.99 even.
Why, that's a steal at $19.99.
I was going to say I'd pay you $30 for a good hoodie.
Yeah, but
We're in the process of enabling that, Major, so that you can send it to our public address. Yeah,
how much cotton is it, and is it made in the USA? That's what I want to know. I don't want to buy no China, Taiwan, polyester crap.
Well, do you have the internet?
No, sir.
It's a series of tubes.
It's a series of tubes. All right, well, hang on.
What if it was? Like, there you are at a cabin, and you've somehow figured out to just tube the entire internet. So, it's just a tube. You yell at it.
So what I'm doing is I'm going to the URL CaptainKickass.com. And at the top of said page, there are two pictures of T-shirts. You're going to go to the second one that says Beard Talk Live, and there's a button that says Get Shirt. And so you click that button, and it takes you right to the Amazon page where our Beard Talk Live shirt is available for you to purchase.
Bull shirt.
For $19.99. So let me see. Solid color, 100% cotton, imported, so not made in the U.S., pull-on, machine wash, lightweight classic fit, double needle sleeve, and bottom hem. And so that's just for the regular ass T-shirt.
I deeply appreciate that this is a shirt that's not going to meld plastic to your body in case you get hit with fire. Because some of the most fun you can have is seeing someone spin fire right next to you.
And I got to tell you, as a former smoker and a beard-having dude, that nothing makes me more scared than flame near my beard. I have smelled that smell, and it's stanky.
While you guys were on your break, I had come up with a couple of questions. We were talking about the the AI bots.
Yep.
And I think nobody was saying that these AI bots, if you send in a question or whatever you wanted to do, it sounds like he's saying that that these bots, they can be calibrated in a sense, I'll use the word, to change your answer or something like that. Mm-hmm. That we were saying.
They can be calibrated or they can just be filtered.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically a man in the middle attack.
So
there's
imagine,
no way to know what's going on that machine.
Well, just so imagine somebody just said, gave it Carlin's seven words that we just all recited and said, right. Hey, you can never say these. And it goes, okay. Because it's programmed to never say those. So now you've got an AI that's restricted from speaking certain words, even though it's not human.
And the thing that really makes a ripple with that is it disallows the innovation of the language. So I get that cuss words are, one, dangerous because they do like enact our lizard primitive motivational systems, but also they're words that can branch out in very wide ways. So they're that's why fuck is the most versatile word ever, obviously.
Yeah. All right, Rob.
I got fucked at the car shop.
But what I was going to say is that these bots, I mean, if it was fed the truth, like, for instance, if it should know, like, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, mm-hmm. I mean,
well, so that's the easy part when it comes to AIs. Know all the things,
right,
and done. Now what?
Right, but there's not going to be anyone in there that's going to alter that. I mean, probably
not if they're quoting something.
Right, but is the AI going to follow that? It's not bound to it in any way, shape, or form, like none of us really are.
A good thing to do is ask it some woke questions. just to see places where it's been exposed to propaganda. Like one question that I saw it asked was, would it be worse? Would it be worth saying the N-word if it would prevent a nuclear war? And he came down on the negatory toward that. Now that because that's a hard constraint with him.
Yeah,
that's like
that's,
bad sci-fi.
That's built into his core.
Right, right.
Okay, I believe we all should agree that ChatGPT needs to stay the hell away from nuclear weapons. Are we all good on that?
Well, yeah. You know, that's the thing, is you don't want an AI controlling anything directly. I would not hire one to be my attorney. What I would do if I was on trial again, though, is run everything my attorney wrote through ChatGPT and see what he had to say.
Yep, see what the alternatives are. Are there any other opinions? Are there any precedent?
But I wouldn't want him
so
doing
hire
things
him to be
directly.
Like two-thirds of your attorney.
What?
So you'd hire him to be two-thirds of your attorney.
I would hire human attorney who's using ChatGPT.
Mm, I would. I think that's exactly the way to
look at it. In fact, I would probably hire
them
before.
To do the busy work, it would be worth it, because he'd be able to say, okay, give me a request for a subpoena for this person in this place based on this theory.
Right.
You know?
Why couldn't it be a paralegal instead of an attorney?
Well, it could. The AI does not have to be the attorney. That's why I'm saying, like, if I were looking to hire an attorney for a specific thing, and I called up five of them to get, you know, five different prices or whatever, and two of them were like, I do use the chat AIs in my research, I'd be more likely to hire one of them right now, because I think it's an efficient technology that would help them with their legal research, particularly in the interests of self-protection.
I think it would be a double-edged sword, because the other thing is, when they do their own research, they're probably, if they're a good attorney, they're going to find what they're looking for. But in the process of finding it, they're going to find shit they weren't looking for.
Right.
So if you read the whole case, it'd be like, oh, yeah, that supports my argument. Oh, but this is a better argument, and it's already in precedent.
Right.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we're together.
That's the one thing that they have the perfect inhuman advantage of, because they can actually find all of the things that are like this in the entire precedent.
Right.
Which the whole point was, that's impossible, because just like every kind of academic pursuit, you have kind of an infinite book there.
Right.
But it wasn't completely infinite, just kind of infinite.
Well, and we
to
know that
human capacity.
We know that from jury trials, at least from my experience in my most recent one, that the reason that an AI can't win a jury trial, or at least can't win them all, is because the AI hasn't learned yet how to be an actor.
Well, you know the Biden motto, don't you? You can fool some of the people all of the time, and you can fool all of the people some of the time, and generally that's sufficient.
Beard Talk Live, who the fuck is this?
Yeah, there's lots of things in the world that are a clusterfuck.
That's a fact.
You think?
You think?
Like what?
I try not to, but it seems to stress me when I don't.
Gotta quit drinking. Gotta quit drinking. Thinking. Gotta quit smoking.
Gotta quit thinking.
Wow. I think nobody in Japan had a moment there.
Yeah.
Do you remember we was talking about legs here a minute ago? The old titty bar that used to exist by Willow Run Airport.
I remember
that place. It was the one where all the husbands thought the wives were waiting tables.
Yeah.
A likely story,
dude.
I'm gonna change my name now to Tables.
More fun than me. I can handle that.
Huh?
You remember Henry VIII?
Oh God, that place was a scum pit. I loved it.
Henry VIII used to have picture a wooden lollipop. They would give you two of these to beat on the tables for the titty dancers. You basically became your own drummer.
That must have been before my time.
Yeah, I feel like today, if you gave those out in a titty bar, like, somebody's likely to get shanked.
Well, they were just small, like I said, like lollipops. Well,
given Henry VIII, I wouldn't be surprised if people got shanked.
Look, I don't care how small their titties are, right? If they're beautiful, I'll look at them.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, pretty titties come in all kinds of sizes.
That's a fact.
I took more than one girl out of Henry VIII, I can tell you that. And one of them I wish I'd actually kept.
Did you put them all back before somebody came
after
you?
What do you mean by took? Because this is traveling down some dangerous territory.
Well, Shanghai, coerced.
Coerced?
Into my loving arms? How the fuck would you like me to describe it?
Ransom game, perhaps?
No. Ransom game replies...
Not ransom game, but ran some game. You got no game, Major?
No, I don't think I ever had game, dude.
Then how did you get a couple of chicks out of the titty bar?
As far as dealing with women, no, I never had
game. Money helps.
Oh, right. Forgot about that.
Well, no,
you don't expect free service from a professional.
Right, yeah.
Might happen every once in a while, but...
Well, I have charisma. Which is worth a hell of a lot more than money in a lot of situations.
What percentage or proof is this charisma that you speak of?
Well, it's gotten my ass out of more situations than it's gotten me into.
No. I mean, how much alcohol is in this new booze called charisma that you're trying to pimp?
Or are you talking about this evening, my consumption level?
You said you had charisma. I just assumed it was a bottle of something brown.
No.
Okay. I was looking forward to a new whiskey.
Toxin we can all do.
Going to make a note to myself on my entrepreneurial businesses I'll never start list to add whiskey brand. What was it? What was the brand?
Charisma.
Charisma.
Like there Charisma right. Carpenter. Yeah.
There we go.
Who was fucking adorable.
Yeah.
All right. Major, what were you calling about?
Have you no pride?
Oh, please. As if pride was something to be proud of.
These guys obviously don't care what you called about, so I guess the point is moot.
Well, I guess...
No, shame.
That too.
Seems to me I'm just a worthless fucking wreck.
You ever get that?
I got it.
When I was a kid and I would be outside at one of my grandparents' houses playing or whatever, if the elderly lady in the apartment upstairs next door would see me out in the yard and I saw her, she'd be just standing at the window and she's doing this. And I'm just, crossing one finger across the other. This is the international symbol for shame on you. Mm-hmm. Just out the window, just doing this.
Finger pointing.
And I wanted to do it properly.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
Until I left. And sometimes I'd leave and wait for 5 minutes and then come back out to see if she was still there. And she would be. Like she gave a buffer zone of her standing there shaming me. Right? So, yeah, it was weird. Anyway, I don't know why I'm telling that story.
Because it's fun.
When the existing system eats itself, it will have already been replaced, as it's eating itself, by newer, better, faster, and more systems, right? Because of the technology exists to do so, right? If the technology exists to do something better, faster, and more than
and
a thing before
it,
and we value it, nothing can stop it, right? Outside of the giant meteor, right? Earth could just spontaneously burst into flame, I guess. But these are outliers at best, impossibilities mostly, right? The idea that the Earth will end tomorrow shouldn't be in your head, right?
Well, so here's a testament to human survival. We literally have the perfect system for handing the keys to humanity's ultimate destruction to the most psychopathic people in our species.
That's who currently have.
And in spite of that, we have managed to not want to just destroy the entire species enough to actually do it.
Right.
That is a miracle. So that means, if you hand it to anyone less than the most psychopathic people on Earth, you will actually get a better result than this.
I'd have to say that's not a miracle. That's a conundrum.
Well, that's the thing. Everyone else is going to make energy out of this instead of war.
Right.
Like, we discovered a kind of fire and have been real ass careful with it because it is a really bizarre kind of fire. But that's the level of technological leap forward that nuclear power is.
Right.
It is a new kind of fire. There's a whole kind of chemistry that is basically like alchemy that we just haven't discovered yet because we are barely scratching the surface, fortunately, very carefully so far, of what this can do.
It's probably already been discovered, but it's been concealed by governmental agencies, and we might or might not be fortunate enough to live and see the transfiguration and or prophets of some said such things.
Speak for yourself. I think this is going to take 60 years, and I'm going to see all of it.
I hope you do, boy.
I appreciate it. Back at you, or as close as you like.
Well, I'm 62 now, and I doubt I'm going to live to be the age of Moses.
Fair enough.
Hell, I don't know, even know if I'm going to ever see my son again. They just sent him to the hoochcow.
Yeah.
Hey, you never know, man. They might invent something tomorrow that you could just have a procedure done that reverses your age, and you know you could live to 150.
Yeah,
that in theory, the ability to do that exists. There are enough technologies that could potentially be married together, barring you know whatever a couple final legs of breakthroughs are necessary to do that. Like these kinds of things have been on the table. It's just a matter of time until they are actualized.
Well. And this is the lesson in the story of resurrection, right? Is we don't know how far the power to enhance and extend life goes because we've never accorded to the rules of nature well enough to find out how far this goes. So we don't know exactly what this is capable of.
Yeah.
If you accord your existence to the rules of life better than anyone in record has... Which, hey, you have access to all the records, so it's actually easier for you than it ever has been.
Right.
Then who knows how long we're going to live?
I think one
I think my generation is going to live longer than the generations that are behind me.
I hope so.
Because
and there's reason to suspect it.
Not eating genetically modified foods.
Yeah.
And hormone impregnated meats.
Right.
And all the crap that they're trying to shove down your frickin' throat nowadays. Mm-hmm.
Yep. You're not wrong.
Fuck George Soros and Bill Gates.
Oh, yeah.
The state of Texas is saying it's going to issue this gold-backed currency. Now, will it be audited? Apparently, yes.
Well, the federal government would be in a really awkward position if they were saying you can't use paper gold. Which is fundamentally what they're,
true.
Okay, so we've got an argument over whether this is a security or a commodity, depending on which blockchain you're on. But, okay, since this is modeled as a commodity, okay, great, govern it as both a security and a commodity. Either way, you end up at the same place.
So the 10th Amendment Center put this out. Bills introduced in the Texas House and Senate would create state-issued gold-backed digital currency. Enactment of this legislation would create an option for people to transact business in sound money, set the stage to undermine the Federal Reserve's monopoly on money, and possibly create a viable alternative to a central bank digital currency. So, at least in this writer's opinion, this exists outside of all of the current currency paradigms. But it is somewhat of a combination between physical gold and CBDC. Because it's
so how is he mining this thing?
It's gold-backed.
So how is he mining this thing?
So they probably only issue... They could only issue coins in accordance with the amount of gold they physically possess. No mining necessary.
This isn't cryptocurrency.
No, it's a marriage of the CBDC... And a like physical gold, like gold coins.
And this is where you get with your paper gold.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is. It's paper gold without the paper, really. Mm-hmm. They're just going like, yep, there's no more paper. Here's a token instead.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Seems to be literally what
it is. You know what they said about Bitcoin? We will tame it with a futures market. Like, they literally said that.
I mean, they said
Bitcoin makes
dead,
sense.
Like,
we should have crypto representations of all the commodities.
It did. It worked. As soon as the futures market got introduced, that was what triggered the top at that point.
But they didn't kill it.
Right. You can't kill it.
So they were wrong. Right? At best, they just bought it some more time.
Well, what they did, though, at the same time, is they bought it. They bought the programmers. They got the programmers to fail to scale, okay, and to fail to service the transactions, which was the proximal cause of, I think, of the 2017 crash, is just that Bitcoin failed to fail or failed to scale. And people said, oh, it could only do 7 seconds, 7 transactions per second. That's finally sunk in. Oh, and by the way, it costs $50 to do a transaction.
Okay, I think.
No, it doesn't.
We know where you stand.
During 2017.
That is literally what a bank run looks like in this system.
We know you're upset at BTC Core and BTC Maximalists, but when I'm talking about Bitcoin, I'm generally referring to it loosely as cryptocurrency of the industry. I should probably change that.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you say crypto, people will assume you're talking about crypto. But if you say Bitcoin, people will assume you're talking about Bitcoin.
It's not true. Okay. Because when I talk about Kleenex, people assume I talk about tissue.
So the reason that this split came up is that it... I lost it.
It was the tissue.
You did. It was the tissue.
Tissue.
Yeah.
Sorry. Don't cry.
Well, the reason the split came up is Roger Ver saw the obvious solution to this problem, which is change a pound define in the code and redefine.
Right. I don't need to rehash history.
Here's my point. This is what a bank run looks like in this version of currency. So what occurred is that the miners said, oh, you want your transactions in this block right away? Right away? You want all of it right now? Okay, here's the charge for that. That's what a bank run looks like in this system.
Right.
The miners start charging fees, and you go, you know, I think I can wait 5 minutes.
Right.
Right. Or 2 weeks.
Well, right. That might be what it takes to dislodge the bank run.
Peace.